The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It is Halloween Eve, and is the case each year, once each year, the ancient oak drawbridge is down, and the villagers from the valley below have quietly, many of them nervously, made their way up to the castle and have crossed the bridge and are able to look in through the massive oak front doorway inside the castle itself, a sight that few have ever seen and even fewer have ever dared talk about. And down from the massive curving stone stairway on the left comes a dark figure to greet them. And as he makes his way down the stairs and walks across to the doorway where they all are gathered outside, what, pray tell, does he say to them? That's your cue.
Good evening. Welcome to the castle.
And Fred and Leonard are collecting admission as usual. And then what happens?
Then we begin our Halloween special when we announce the winners, and who knows what else we'll announce tonight. I like that music. That's fancy. You had that timed perfectly. You must have been rehearsing it all week.
Oh, hours a day. Hours a day. The union musicians, you know, they're not cheap. So when you have a full orchestra dress rehearsal, it's not something you want to take lightly. So I did. But it worked. It worked.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Now, we should say that in many areas along the eastern seaboard, Halloween has been repositioned, I guess, until next week in some areas of New Jersey and elsewhere, which is only natural in light of the amount of discomfort and tragedy that has stricken many people back there. So we want to send our best Halloween greetings and, in general, our best thoughts and wishes to all of you back there who are listening in tonight. Be well and keep the faith. You'll get back on track. Cleanup is underway.
Yes, we told our little granddaughters who have taken refuge in Uptown, they live in the Tribeca area, son and his family, that their mayor had announced that Halloween wasn't gone, it was just postponed.
Well, as it should be. And remember the one part of a tragedy that is immutable. Human beings, humankind, our species, always rises to its highest moral calling and most generous and kind, if not heroic, status in the face of tragedies and crises and natural events like this one. So people are being great people. It's funny, isn't it? When times are good, people often fall short of that. And yet when crisis crisis strikes, they often stand taller than they ever have. So
it is, I think, a tribute to the indomitable human spirit, you know, that we do rally and we forget about who goes to which church, who votes for which candidate, and all those things that are really kind of superficial distractions here on earth. And we focus on what is truly meaningful, how we respect and regard our brothers and sisters.
I agree. Now, this program, for those of you new, is our wind-up for the month of October, our Halloween Eve program. And we have had, for the past 6 weeks, the Brad and Jeff annual Halloween art contest and real ghost story contest. And we have some winners. And boy, do we have some wonderful entries this year. I'm amazed. Especially the ghost stories. We didn't have as many of the artistic submissions as we often do, but just some classics in there. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone's going to like the winners that we've picked, and we will be reading the ghost stories for you and to you as the evening goes on. Now, for those of you who are new to this, to follow along, go to the homepage at rents.com and look for the contest, the big banner. It's down there in the center. You'll see it. Just look for the Halloween motif and look under there. On the left, you can see. On the right, you'll see it says click here to enter. In any case, look down below that and you'll see latest splash art entries on the left, latest ghost stories on the right. They're all in. We actually wound things up last Friday. So they're all there for you to follow along and take a look at if you'd like. And I also want to commend James Neff, my amazing webmaster. We put his truly classic piece of Halloween art up again. I asked him to pull it out and paste it up there for everyone to see again, because it's a timeless piece. It's a Hallmark card forever.
And Sherry and I regard that, you know, as just a classic. I mean, it's he caught everything. And it's masterful, Mr. James, and we do appreciate it and appreciate it coming up again. It's kind of our, you know, like a holiday, every family brings out some memento.
An heirloom.
That they've had year after year after year. And I think this is our Halloween memento.
Oh, I agree. It's great. This is wonderful. I could look at that for you know, a long time and just look at the art, look at the brick. Look, he did all this years and years ago, and I wish he had more time to do more art, because he is a gifted artist. And here's
very much so.
Here's a testimonial to that. Okay.
Very much so.
Now, in terms of what you have been doing at the castle with Lady Sherry, this week, in addition to all your other work, you've been reading ghost stories and trying to distill a very difficult field down to winners, and we have some winners. And again, as I mentioned, we will be reading those stories to you, at least the first, second, and third place stories. So sit tight for that as well. And we can start with the art anytime you'd like, Maestro. Oh, but before, I always want to do this because I forget too often. Tell us what's new and what's about to be released from the always productive stable of Brad and Sherry Literature. What books are coming? What's next? You've dominated the field forever with what you have produced so far. No one will ever come close to what you've done. Your works, the works of both of you, are definitive in the field. Whatever it is you've done, no one will come close to it. I can tell you that with a complete assurance.
Well, that's very kind of you to say.
True. It's all true.
Right now, of course, the second edition of Real Ghosts, Restless Spirits, and Haunted Places has just been released. And that has new material. Just got a really nice review from both like Red Fern and a publication, Horror News, which covers many of the, you know, the movies, the novels, and so forth. And again, they both say, you know, at 600 pages, one would think, and it's kind of interesting that they, I'm not sure they didn't see each other's review, but they say, you know, that one might think that you would get bored, tired of reading ghost story after ghost story, but they say, you know, every chapter leads and keeps suspense and keeps the chills coming. And then one of them, I don't remember which, said perhaps the ideal way to read the book, because it has 29 categories of ghosts and hauntings and so forth, restless spirits, to read the category maybe that interests you first and then kind of jump around in the book. And that's the beauty of this approach, is that you can do that. This isn't a novel where you have to read it and progress to understand the plot. You can just pick your interest that evening or how much you want to be scared that evening reading. And I think that's kind of the beauty of the of this kind of encyclopedic approach to a work, is there is the thread running through of what is happening, what is this phenomena, how can we accept it, how can we deal with it, is, you know, is it true? And the conclusion in both of these latest reviews is, if you didn't believe in ghosts before, you will after you read the book or any
nice.
Part of the book. So
that's nice.
I'm very pleased with that kind of complimentary review. And some people have said, well, this is a second edition. Is there new material? Well, there's new material. There are new photographs. There are new art pieces. So I'm just delighted, shamefully so, on this particular work as it comes out again. Now we are working on, and we certainly welcome everyone's attention to this, this will really get into some difficult
yes.
areas.
Yes.
And deal perhaps with a depth that I think many people find very welcome, just saying what is going on. And that's real encounters, different dimensions, and other worldly beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's in progress now. And then February,
mm-hmm.
our four-legged miracles is being released. And I just checked Barnes and Noble and was astonished to see this doesn't come out till February 5th, and already it's ranking way high in the list with advanced sales. People
well,
are buying it already, and that's, you know, that's the greatest compliment I think authors
can't
can
get
receive.
Enough. Can't they? Can't get enough of the Steiger genius. You and
well,
Sherry.
Well, this is Four-Legged Miracles,
yeah,
heartwarming
yeah.
tales of lost dogs' journeys home. And it'll be out February 5th. But for oh. now, since we're in the season, real ghosts, restless spirits, and haunted places, in the works, the Real Encounters book. So we do stay busy in
oh,
the
yeah.
castle.
Well, I get emails from Brad literally at all hours of the night over the years. I honestly don't think he sleeps. If he does, it's just when the sun comes up. And we know why that would be.
Yes. The neighbors have been wondering for years now.
Yes, keep the drapes drawn. The next book that you're working on sounds a little erudite. What is that about?
Well, it'll have plenty of chills and thrills, but we just get into... Well, for instance, you know, the...
little teaser here.
Do we live in a magic theater? I mean, do we create our own realities in these cases? How much is us and how much are the visitors? How much is entities that are multidimensional? Do we interact? Do we have a mind meld? What truly makes up our reality? When you see a ghost, are you in that reality, the ghostly one, or are they entering ours?
Yeah, they may be just as confused as we are.
The creatures we call the visitors, you know, have they been here all along?
Mm-hmm.
Do they live here on a planet amidst us? Do they live underground? Do they live in the ocean? Do they come from outer space or other dimensions?
Yeah.
Just really getting into the nitty-gritty and exploring the many, many dimensions and areas that we've dealt with in the other books.
I say it's all of the above.
All of the above. And we deal with all of the above.
You can't rule anything out. We know so little about the totality of this experience of being an infinitesimally small... We're so small in the universe that we just don't count. That's how small we are. But don't tell that to anyone else.
No, but again, you're absolutely right. And what do we mean by nothing? What do we mean by the absence of matter? What truly is energy? And are we living in, you know, energy capsules where we're literally waves of being, where we interact? Is there truly any limit to the universe? Are we the universe? I mean, all these questions, philosophically, that we've dealt with for thousands of years, and it won't be dull reading. I mean, it's going to be intellectual in that sense. But as I say, there will still be plenty of chills and thrills, because it truly is. We're dealing with the supernatural, but is it only the natural that we do not yet understand?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when will we stop saying supernatural and
yeah.
just say,
good point.
That's what life is. That's a
sure.
part of life. It's not a separate part of life. These things aren't separate from us. They're really integrated and integral to an understanding of our complete reality.
That book has a long title, but it has obviously a long train of information in it that will be fun to read. Big book?
Well, we're getting some fabulous material from a number of contributors.
Mm-hmm.
Some are dear friends, you know, who are respected writers in their own right, and then people who have written to us, people who have sent accounts, people who never thought their thoughts would appear in a book. But everyone, you know, we all have valuable pieces, don't we? We all have pieces of this great cosmic jigsaw puzzle. So it will be, we're just very excited about it, very excited about the material.
And that'll be out when? Spring?
Either early next summer or in the fall.
Yeah, you have a shorter publication turnaround time than many. A lot of people it's a year out minimum. You've been on the near side of that for a number of books, but why does it take so long is the question I'm asked. Why can't a publishing house get to press and put a book out in 4 to 6 weeks? What's the problem? And you're the man to ask that question.
Well, for example, with our Four-Legged Miracles, we completed that, Jeff, and I think you remember. Last December.
It's been a long time. It's a year ago.
Remember, we kind of took a little sabbatical there.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that time, we wanted to do something at Christmas with you, but you know we had to get this finished. Our deadline,
of course,
was pressing heavily upon us, so we finished it last December.
Well, you have a deadline. You make your deadline.
So that's kind of the typical time for publication.
That's a year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's a year plus.
A year.
And the question I'm asked again is, why? Why so long? What's the problem?
It doesn't have to be. Now, our marvelous relationship with Visible Ink Press,
mm-hmm.
in which we just, again, you know, we were fortunate to have good editors, but with Visible Ink, we have a fabulous publisher, always available. Editor, again, available day or night,
mm-hmm.
whatever weird hours, we seem compatible in that regard. And even the typesetter has been a correspondent for 10 years. I mean, no, everyone at Visible Ink just seems tuned into getting this material out.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, you know, it's only 3-4 months after we finish a project that's out and very handsome editions, wonderful covers, wonderful illustrations within, and just looking, you know, we're just pleased, you know, this is, again, to, you know, this is, when I go back to when I first started writing in the 1950s, you know, it took 2 weeks maybe to correspond with your editor, and, mm-hmm. and you never heard from the publisher. The publisher wasn't available at all.
Of course not.
So things have changed in this new age in many, many ways.
Well, now with digital books, Kindle and all the rest online, you'd think that the time would be cut down. Visible Ink can get your stuff out there relatively quickly. Other publishers have a longer interval between the time the manuscript is finished and the actual mm-hmm. publication, like over a year. That seems like a long time. Seems like they're going to have to upgrade their act to stay competitive in this digital age. I don't know much about the business anymore, but at any rate,
it's changing everything.
Yeah, well, they're
truly
being...
truly is changing everything. You remember on Friday talking to Tim Beckley.
Yeah.
He's getting books out now in like 4 or 5 days.
Right. Well, that seems to be the way it has to go. I don't know how much pre-release publication notice is given, how much advertising is mounted and all that, but anyway, speed is more and more of the essence in this business, so we'll see. But good, there's always a Steiger book just around the corner, we know that much, and we'll take a break and come right back and take a look at our art entries next. So go to the homepage and click on the contest banner and look at the splash art, and we'll be right back to talk about that. Okay, and we're back on this Halloween Eve. And again, we invite you to join us as we take a look now and announce the winners of our art contest, Splash Art Entries. Look for it below the banner. See Splash Art Entries, click on that, and load them up. And we'll put a little more appropriate music in the background. Okay. As we look down the page, there, I guess the diversity is quite interesting. You want to just give us a little tour here? Yeah, the first one on the upper left is, and you can click on these, they're small, they'll enlarge on your screen.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I encourage them to click.
These are more or less thumbnails. But the first one is, I don't know how to describe that.
Well, that is...
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yes. This is very provocative, I think, is a good word to describe it.
Those people need they need to relax a little bit. I think something has made them unhappy. I can't figure out if they're trying to get in... or if they're on the outside, they're locked into a larger enclosure. It would appear that they...
they're all barking mad.
They are indeed. I think they want to get hold of the person who is on the near side of the grill work.
Yes, and then he's either been mutilated with the face of a jack-o'-lantern, blood splashed around. This is one, if you dwelt on it long enough, you, I think, would be looking over your shoulder.
Well, they are.
Most definitely.
Some of them are. All right, that's the first one. And on the right, we have Halloween on Rushmore. Now, this is a very interesting piece. And James said that a lot of work went into it. It shows good effort. I think there's a lot of potential here to have come up with approached it a number of different ways. It's very good, though. I think the idea is good.
It's very good. Why, you know, I guess that's what art is, isn't it? You project into it, and then you can't help. And, of course, we do that when we read books or see a movie, any expression of creativity. If we get into it, we start to say, well, you know, if this or if that, if he would have done this, he would have done that. And, of course, that's always the arrogance of the person who's looking at the work of art.
Easy to be a critic.
But if I had my druthers, I just would have loved to have seen the Frankenstein monster, the mummy, the werewolf, and Dracula on there. I think that would have been just an ultimate masterpiece in my book.
Didn't I say that? Oh, you said that too. Yeah, I think Bela, Boris, Lon Chaney Jr., I'm not sure which the fourth face. What would you put up there as a fourth face if you were putting classic
monsters? Well, that's what I say. I would have put Frankenstein monster. I wouldn't have put the actors. I would have put their creation.
Yeah, of course,
so
of course.
It would have been
Dracula.
Frankenstein.
The monster.
The mummy. The werewolf. And
the mummy. There you go. Okay. And I probably would have been tempted to darken the sky more, put the moon on the left, and get rid of the guy peering down, but it all fits. It works. I mean, if you want to do a political application, you certainly could have put Obama, Cheney, Bush, and take your pick.
Yeah.
Probably Bernanke.
Don't I would forget have put, the others.
Bernanke would have gone in there, too. That's the political aspect of it. But it's
right,
a very good
right.
piece. Okay, we'll move on to...
Or any choice, depending upon your
affiliation,
I guess.
That's right. Okay, now, numbers 2 and 3, or 3 and 4, rather, on the second line, are... they're a style that looks John McNaughton... has come up with, and he's got it's a comic book style in a way. John McNaughton, Rose
Bush III.
It's
a comic book style, and kind of a blending with kind of a nouveau art that I see coming up every once in a while. As you said, it's kind of a comic book style. It's obviously influenced by zombies. I think that would be safe to say, don't you?
Oh yeah, Necropolis. That's a good term. Good title.
That's a good title.
All right. Row 3. And again, you can click on these if you just joined us, and they'll come up larger on your screen. Now, that's unusual. The number 3 column, the first one on the left, it's an art style I haven't seen very often before in our contests, anyway.
It's very interesting. It's very nice. It's... looked at this one a long time. We've got the raven in there, and then the personification of death and terror, the screaming skull, with kind of an interesting swath of hair and an earring still attached to a patch of ear there.
So right.
It's very nice. It's very good.
Now, we're listening actually right now in the background, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right,
and
right for Baby Ghouls. That's perfect timing, I was thinking that.
Yeah. Baby
That's
Ghouls.
Very much in the style of Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
I think if there would have been a little more variety in this one, I think it would have greater impact on me. But it's a well-done piece. It's again, very interesting.
All right, next row, all of them witches. Now, this is a...
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
We see the traditional mask worn in the Renaissance period. And, of course, the red cloaked rogue clergyman presiding at a mass. This was always very desirable, particularly in the Renaissance, if you could get a rogue priest to preside at a mass. And we see the traditional figures of comedy in the true sense, not ha-ha, but as the players would have presented themselves in a Renaissance little sketch before the royal heads. So this is very interesting. It has the pentagram there is probably exaggerated in terms of style and production value than it would have been at that time, but who knows? Who can say? It's a very interesting piece.
Trying to
the
make
dream
some
is
of
also
detail.
Very
yeah.
interesting. I can see that as a Halloween greeting card, can't you, Jeff?
Oh, it's certainly a greeting card, absolutely. Tevis, I think, is the pronunciation. Maybe it's Teves.
Of the artist.
Yeah. But that's well done. Good thought, good color, good use of balance and symmetry, and a combination
very
of
nice.
Bat wings and jack-o'-lantern. Very well done. Next row, pumpkins for the dead. And this is kind of an interesting composite of a lot of things. We have the cemetery, the tombstones, the pumpkins, there's the skeleton, the haunted house, and the trees with their bare limbs, ravens, a lot of things in there.
This again, I can see as a greeting card.
Oh, absolutely. We have produced our contributing contests over the years have produced enough entries to create a whole line of Halloween greeting cards.
Absolutely.
No, seriously. If all the people had wanted
quite
to
serious.
Contribute the Steiger reading card.
As you pointed out, Jeff, the Halloween iconic figures are all here. The scarecrow, the skeletons, the bats flying over the bare limbs of the tree, and the haunted house in the back. So this has a lot of iconic imagery for Halloween.
The curse of Snide Hall is next. Jack sent this in from England. Thank you, Jack, and thanks to all of our contestants. This is another good
job to everyone.
Obviously, the man is memory.
Jack has, I think, excellent style.
Oh yeah,
for capturing. It almost looks like Michael Myers with his William Shatner mask over there in the left corner. And then perhaps an innocent reader of haunted literature.
Which is manifesting a lot of things around.
Werewolf, that, I would say.
Yeah.
Very good. Excellent work.
Okay, in the next row, In the Mouth of Madness. Now, this is a weird one.
It is weird. Forever Night is the artist, and I think that's he's chosen an excellent nom de plume. The man is definitely, I think almost anyone, if you saw that in the corner, you would almost welcome a straitjacket to try to offer some protection.
Mm-hmm.
Hideous, kind of reptilian, I guess obviously reptilian, creature in the shadows there.
Mm-hmm. I know
very,
what it is.
Very interesting.
Definitely a
threatening. And he follows that up with Scarecrow.
Now look at the detail on this one. The hat, the textures, very interesting. I I don't know. I guess the scarecrow is wearing a coat. I couldn't figure out if that was a coat or skin. It's kind of...
No, I'm with you on that.
It had it a couple buttons, I'd know it was a coat.
Like a,
but,
yeah. But the detail with the corn and the moon...
Yeah.
Excellent. And then you can almost see, here again, pareidolia. You can almost see little faces. And I think that must be skin. That must be a coat of human skin, wouldn't you say?
I'm afraid I agree with you on that, yeah.
Afraid you agree.
Okay, a mist over Pendle. Jack, another entry from the UK. Now, this is another good one. Lots of symbols in there.
The witch looking in the window, I think, is just superb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing to take personally, all our friends who are witches. Witches really don't look like that. I mean, but our iconic and our nightmarish images of a witch definitely looks like that. Fortunately, the witches I have met, and there have been a good number, did not look at all like that. And we don't want to defame an entire religious form of expression, but this, I think, even they would agree, is kind of the stereotypical embodiment of a witch flying through the air. Then we have the tarot cards, and look at the hands dealing the tarot cards.
Yeah.
Aren't those splendid? Again, a lot of iconic images.
And look at the kitty.
We're
like cat lovers are
curling around the candle.
Yeah. There's a nice cat there, too.
Nice cat, and not black.
No, and see the rat? Some of you may miss the rat.
Yes.
There's the rat. So it's all there. And there's a big serpent, a large snake on the right. So there's quite a bit combined into that one piece of art.
Excellent.
Okay. Lindsay Hurlow, also from the UK, Wales, sent in an entry that it's truly a classic, just off the face of it. And I'm sure a lot of you looking will remember the 40s and 50s as children. And this is this really does take you back. This is time travel.
Excellent.
This is Halloween.
There's even
before,
little yeah. Bradley there eating a caramel apple and reading weird tales.
Well, when I saw the apple dunk
in
a bucket,
you would have looked in on Halloween night. That's probably exactly what you would have seen in the Steiger household.
I was thinking of you eating your candied apple and dunking for apples too. You always did that
right.
As a kid.
There you see the tub.
This is before Halloween became commercialized. And there's the television set right in the middle of the room, of course, you'll say.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, that's not a TV. Well, of course it's not a TV.
No.
That's what televisions used to be, theater.
And the Halloween cards on top of it.
Right.
You know, those old console radio sets, always, whatever the holiday, the cards went on top of it. This is just a classic. This is, I think, truly a masterpiece.
The console radios, fortunately, are still around. They're being restored by people. It's actually a pretty big hobby now among those who are interested in old-time radios. But they are the veneers on those and the wood and the construction were just all brought together in a wonderful combinations. Console radio. That's
I'm glad you pointed that out. Wood. That was not made of plastic.
Oh,
that
no,
was
all
made
wood.
Of wood.
Yep, yep. Okay. And the last row. Now, this is I don't know what to make of this one. I'm not sure what that is, but it's interesting. It doesn't look like a very comfortable item.
Well, it
seems
to be the Grim Reaper, doesn't it?
Yes.
Holding his thigh, and then he has some other horrible tool he's wielding as well, a mini-barbed tool.
guess if he doesn't get him with the scythe, he'll get him with the other one. So kind of these Swiss Army knives of grim reapers.
Right.
That wasn't bad, Swiss Army knife. That's good. All right. The last one is also by Preacher, My Grim. Now, this is probably the darkest, scariest of all the cards. I call them cards. Look at me. Of all the entries. That's kind of has a punch to it.
Yeah, it's very... the skull appears to have, I think, almost Polynesian tribal markings on it, to my eye. Am I the only one who sees that, Jeff?
Above the eyes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does look like
and
there's
on
some...
on the cheekbones and chin.
Yeah, it does look like there's some kind of symmetrical etching in there. I'm not sure what it is.
Right. I wasn't certain if only I was seeing that, but it's...
But the use of black...
One wouldn't want to see this leering...
No.
...in the corner of one's darkened bedroom.
The use of black in there is...
For sure.
Yeah. Is very, very well employed to create the image of starkness. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
So those are our entries, and we have about 6 minutes left, so we're going to announce the third place winner, the second place winner, and then the grand prize winner, and we'll post that grand prize winner on Rents.com just as soon as it is announced. So, Maestro, let's find out. Number three.
Well, after much very strenuous examination, because they are all superb, we have come to the Halloween on Rushmore as the third place winner. For the second, Mist Over Pendle as the second place winner. And the first place unanimously went to Spirit of Halloween. Just a marvelous recreation of those early times and the celebration. Much milder, much more fun, much more evocative of the true spirit of Halloween. A family gathered around, celebrating, contrary to now the mass, $8 billion business of Halloween this year.
$8 billion?
$8 billion.
Uh-huh.
$8 billion, according to Time magazine.
And not a chainsaw in sight.
Not a chainsaw in sight. So yeah. That's our places.
Yeah.
Spirit of Halloween, number one. Two, Mist Over Pendle. And three, Halloween on Rushmore. Congratulations to all the winners, and a congratulations to all those who entered with very, very fine. It was very difficult choosing the winners. Very difficult.
We could have
really fine works.
Right. We all agreed on the first one because it did bring back the innocence, the pre-commercialization of Halloween. Time travel, that was a very special piece. It's almost like a Saturday evening post Norman Rockwell cover. But look at Forever Night. I mean, the artistry in these things, very, very good. And I don't... It's really almost not fair of us to pick a second and a third and a fourth. I mean, we all just happen to agree on the first place winner this time. But the others was wide open. Difficult.
Very difficult.
So thanks to all of you. And I honestly do think that if we had put all these cards together over the years, we'd have a complete line of Steiger greeting cards for Halloween.
Yes. Well, if the artist would be interested, you know, we could certainly explore that a little further to see if it could come to be.
Well, I'm sure if they're interested, they would. I don't know what it's like to apply to a Hallmark company with a card, but if a bunch were put together under the Steiger umbrella, under the Steiger mantle, it might get some real attention. That'd be perfect. I mean, we have years of cards, so to speak, sitting there.
Yes.
All
yeah.
the art entries over the past years, and there are many just
well, in
absolute
this day
classics.
And age, with you know, everything going to the new technology, I don't think we would have to be at the mercy of a large card company. I think there are several other approachable realities.
Right, the digital reproduction of these, the idea that...
Exactly.
How many of these companies are online now that send greeting cards that you can just... They're free. You can go pick a greeting card, send it to somebody
right.
online. We have easily enough cards to make a complete online greeting card business for Halloween cards.
Mm-hmm.
A site with... I'll bet we could put 50 great cards together.
I'll bet we could. Without working up a sweat.
Yeah, yeah. So that's something to think about in your spare time, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
In spare time. All right, well, there it is. Congratulations to all of you for entering and for the hard work and the creativity and the vision and all the rest of it. And our winner again in first place is Lindsay Herlow from Wales in the UK, and just captured Halloween as it used to be. And that was really kind of fun. The nuclear family, the family that made America great. Or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's it. It's just the time, you know, that nostalgia, I think, is very strong, a very strong pull right now. And that certainly pulled... the judges in. But again, congratulations to everyone, the winners, as well as everyone who entered. These are very fine works, and we encourage you to continue your work and your dream.
And if you want to look at years past, there many of the entries are timeless. They're really, really good. They're all up there at Rents.com. Go
very
to
good.
Brad
it's
and Sherry's.
It's difficult every year to pick winners.
It is. It's hard. Brad and Sherry's page is on the left-hand side of Rents.com. Go there, and you'll see all of the previous entries there as well. Now, in our next hour, we're going to begin to take a look at our ghost stories. And there's another motherload of material that is easily adaptable to a book form. We could have 100
very
stories easily. Excellent. And these are true ghost stories. Right, remember that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, very good. We'll pause and come back and continue with Brad and all of you folks in just a few minutes on Halloween Eve.